John chapter 19 this evening in your Bibles. And I want to look at some verses tonight dealing with the election and where we're at tonight. John chapter 19, verse number 1, we'll read down to verse number 13, follow along as I read. Here we find Jesus Christ before Pilate. It says, "Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, 'Hail, King of the Jews,' and they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, 'Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him.' Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, 'Behold the man.' When the chief priests therefore and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.' Pilate saith unto them, 'Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him.' The Jews answered him, 'We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God.' When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, saith unto Jesus, 'Whence art thou?' But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, 'Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and have power to release thee?'" Now here's our text tonight. Jesus answered, "Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivereth me unto thee hath the greater sin." And from thenceforth, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, saying, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar." When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. Thank you, Father, for your word this evening. And Lord, tonight as we watch our country, Father, being divided, we watch, Lord, our country changing before us, Father, we do pray, Lord, for your help. And your word, the gospel is the answer. Father, without being reborn, without being regenerated, Lord, there could be no social reform. And God, our country needs you. And Lord, this election, Father, does not reveal, Lord, hatred against a man, but Lord, a hatred against the things of God. And Father, I pray that you would help tonight. Calm hearts. May we have our eyes upon you, Father, and our hope in you. Blessed and I ask in your name. Amen. As I talked to people these last few weeks, many thought this would be a landslide election for President Trump. And here we are yet again, uncertain of who will be our next president. The apprehension of many believers is not due to their loyalty to President Trump, but due to the extreme progressive ideas of the Biden-Harris ticket. A Biden-Harris ticket, along with the Democratic control of the House under Pelosi, has the potential of fundamentally changing the landscape of America. And though America pops a handful of pills tonight and nervously awaits the pending results and consequences of this election, God is not shaken nor is he disturbed. God is not surprised, shocked, or wondering what to do next. God is on his throne. He has not forfeited or lost his power or authority. The startling revelation of this election and political climate is a spiritual and moral condition of our nation. A nation's political and moral leanings are shaped by its spiritual and religious conditions. America's romance with the progressive left and the promotion of evil is a result of foolish men saying there is no God. America's trouble is not the lack of Republicans, it's a lack of the fear of God. There is no fear of God in the halls of our government because there is no fear of God in the pews and pulpits of our churches. We see here tonight that in the situation with Jesus Christ is before Pilate, and the Jews have delivered him, of course, the Bible says, for envy's sake. And now they are pressing Pilate to crucify him. And at this time, of course, during the Passover, it was a custom to release unto them one that was condemned. And, of course, Pilate offered up them Barabbas. And they, rather than ask for Jesus Christ, they asked for Barabbas. And they want to crucify Christ now because of envy's sake. Pilate, therefore, he whips Christ. Christ has been whipped and scourged with a coat of nine tails. The soldiers have put a crown of thorns upon his brow. He's been mocked and beaten. And now we find that as Pilate has informed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, Pilate asked Christ a question. Is this true? Are you really the Son of God? And of course, Jesus Christ in verse number 9 gives him no answer. And Pilate makes a statement. He said, listen, Jesus, don't you understand that I have the power to crucify thee or the power to release thee? It's in his power. And Christ makes his proclamation. He proclaimed to Pilate that he had no power at all against him except that which was given to him from above. And we need to realize that tonight. Now this proclamation of Christ Jesus is when Israel was under the Roman Empire. They were not in a democracy. They were not in a republic. They were under the Roman Empire and dictatorship. And so they didn't have what we have today. And Jesus Christ still says, as Pilate boasts of his authority over the destiny of Jesus Christ, Christ still says, listen, Pilate, you have no power at all over me or against me whatsoever, had it not been given you from above. And so we can find tonight some great comfort in that as we look at our country today. And of course, I'm not excited about a Biden-Harris ticket in the presidency. But I don't think that Trump is the answer either when it comes to the condition of our country. And I'm glad for some things that President Trump has done and some of the things that he has said, something he has done. But America doesn't need social reform. It needs to be reborn. It needs a revival. And so here's what you see tonight. As we look at this, and of course we went through this a few years ago, it seems like every election gets worse and worse, and no doubt tonight, I'm not surprised at all if they come back and say there's all kinds of fraud. It would not surprise me. I'm not shaken by that. Our government is very corrupt, I wouldn't trust them at all. But here's what I want you to see tonight from a Christian perspective, from God's perspective. Let me give you a few thoughts tonight. Number one is this. God is the authority over all power. God is the authority over all power. In fact, take your Bible study. Look at Romans 13 and Psalm 75. Let me show you a couple of verses here. Romans chapter 13. Again, I was up late a little bit last night and watching the election results. And finally I thought, you know what? I'm going to go to bed. I'm not going to change anything by watching this. And whatever happens, happens. God is in control. And there is no power that is except that God has ordained it. But look at with me at Romans 13, verse number 1. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. Now watch this next phrase. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. I want you to see that tonight, that there is no power but of God. God is the authority over all power. It doesn't matter what title they have or what party they're belonging to. God has the authority over all power. Back in Psalm 75, we read in verse number 6 and 7, where the Bible says this about authority. It says in verse number 6, for promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south. But God is the judge. He putteth down one, and setteth up another. So we find that God is, we have, in today's climate, in today's world today, we really have lessened the sovereignty of God. We have this idea that somehow it's all in our hands and that man has this ability, that we are in charge. But tonight you can't take away from God's sovereignty. Now God gives us the free will to choose, I understand that. A man has to act, man is his own moral agent, and man can decide what he wants to do, right or wrong. But God is still sovereign. There's some things that God is going to do, and God has a plan, and God has a will that man is not going to change. So God is sovereign. He's sovereign in the affairs of man. He's sovereign in the leadership of nations. And God promotes and God takes down, and there's no power but there'll be of God. God is the authority over all power. Look with me at Acts chapter 13. Let me show you this too. Acts chapter 13. Here we find Paul on a missionary journey. He's in Antioch. And look what he says in verse number 16 of Acts 13. They're in Antioch and Pisidia. And it says in verse number 16, then Paul stood up and beckoned with his hand and said, men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give an audience. The God of this people of Israel chose our fathers and exalted the people when they dwelt as strangers in the land of Egypt. And with a high arm brought he them out of it. And about the time of 40 years suffered he their manners in the wilderness. And when he had destroyed seven nations in the land of Canaan, he divided their land to them by lot. And after that, he gave unto them judges about the space of 450 years until Samuel the prophet. And afterward, they desired a king, and God gave unto them Saul the son of Cis, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, by the space of 40 years. Now watch this, number 22. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king. You see, God is in control. God is sovereign. And God raises up powers and God takes down powers. And God is the authority over all power. He brings men into position. He takes men out of position. As you read the Bible, as you've gone through the Old Testament this year, you would have read about how that Pharaoh's power in Egypt came from God. God used Pharaoh. And God set him up and God took him down. You would have read about Nebuchadnezzar's power in Babylon came from God. God used Nebuchadnezzar to chasten Israel. But then he also then punished Nebuchadnezzar for his pride and arrogancy. And so God can use wicked men for his own glory as well. If you read about Herod's power in Judea, it did not come from Rome, but came from God. God rose up Herod. And then God also then took Herod down when Herod boasted of himself and boasted of his pride and his arrogance that he was as a god. And so we find tonight that God promotes kings and nations. God is the authority over all power. Whether it's Trump in office or Biden in office, God raises up one man over the other, and God has the authority over all power. I don't care what the political party is and what they promote to do. At the very end of the day, God is still in power. In fact, Christ is still the King of Kings.
Amen.
Look at me at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, I'm not excited about what's going on, but I've come to a place in my life where I'm not going to lose a bunch of sleep about it. I'm not going to fret. I'm not going to worry myself sick. I'm not going to get stressed out. I'm not going to argue with people about it. I'm not going to quit serving God because of who's in the White House. And listen, I realize that we live in a day and age when the left are progressively, their agenda is wicked and evil. And they hate God. They hate America. But I remember back when I was in college, my first year in college, when Clinton first got in. And they were, you know, talking about back, and I know some things have changed a little bit since those days. But I remember when Clinton got in, the big thing was, listen, if Clinton gets in, America's done for. And some things changed. But the church marched on. And God didn't lose any authority or power. God has a design, and God has a plan. Look with me at 1 Timothy chapter 6. In verse number 11, as Paul writes to Timothy, he says this to Timothy, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. He's speaking of the love of money and the temptation and snare of the devil. He says in verse number 11, follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I give thee charge in the sight of God who quickeneth all things and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show, who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so listen, what's going on today is not going to derail the plan of Jesus Christ. Not going to derail his will. And God says in here in the book, as Paul writes to Timothy, Timothy, I want you to be faithful unto the coming of Jesus Christ. And in his timing, in his plan, in his will, he's going to reveal to all mankind that he is the only potentate, that he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so, regardless of who's in the White House and who reigns and who has the majority in the House or the Senate, Christ is still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's not lost. Listen, if Biden becomes our next president, or Mrs. Harris becomes our next president, he's not lost his authority or his power. And they can only do what he allows them to do. And by the way, this election really is a revelation of the condition of our country and the morals of our country. So Christ is still the King of Kings tonight, regardless of what takes place, regardless of how men might have cheat or regardless of the fraud that's involved, he's still the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, which reminds you that man does not have as much control as he thinks he does. When Nebuchadnezzar thought he was somebody, God made him for 7 years to be like an animal and wandered in the wilderness like an animal. When Herod said, I'm as a king, I'm look what I've done, I'm as a god. And people worshipped him. God killed him and he was devoured by worms. And so we find tonight that God is the authority of all over all power, and God is not troubled. He's not troubled. Now, number two is this. The believer's hope and confidence is not in a president. It cannot be our hope. Again, this is not our home. We're just simply passing through. Our president is not our savior. He's not the Messiah. He's not going to change the world. Only Christ can do that. Only the gospel of Christ can do that. Isaiah 31:1 says this, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are many, and horsemen, because they are very strong. But they looked on to the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Our problem today in our world today is that folks have looked to man and politics and social reform for help, and we should be looking to Jesus Christ for help. Psalms 20 verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. And so what's going to bring about a true change in our country, a true change in our homes, is not a man, not a political party, and then regardless who's in there, it's going to be when men and women turn back toward Jesus Christ and trust in Him. It's wrong for a church to trust in a political power or a party for their help. We should be looking to Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, so our hope and confidence is not in a president. Now, as an American, I want to see America do well. But as a Christian tonight, my hope is not in a president. And I really see, you know, again, I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but our country has promoted more and more base people in positions of power and authority than we've ever seen in our history, I believe. Number three is this. The kingdom of God is not a great America. The kingdom of God is not a great America. Look at John chapter 18 and Romans 14. We often think, I think sometimes we get sidetracked as Christians. Some are believing that somehow our utopia is a great America. But that's not what Christ's mindset was. In John 18, look at verse number 36. Here, as of course, many wanted the kingdom to be restored, Israel to be restored. Verse 36, that Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews, but now is my kingdom not from hence. Christ had not come to establish an earthly kingdom. I think that nations should be God-fearing. But Christ didn't come to establish an America, a great America. Now, that was not his intent. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Back in the book of Romans 14, we read about the kingdom of God. Romans 14, verse number 17 says, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It's not physical, but it's righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So it takes place in the heart of man after salvation. And so tonight I want to encourage you that I think we ought to be good citizens, and I think that God requires us as Christians to be good citizens, and I think it's right to have some patriotism in our country and honor and respect those who gave their life for our country, but Christ did not come and give himself for a great America. That's not his kingdom. His kingdom is not an earthly kingdom; it's a spiritual kingdom. It's a kingdom that we can have in our hearts after being, of course, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God and saved. But it's also a heavenly kingdom that one day that we'll see and be there face with Christ. And so, the kingdom of God. So, don't be alarmed or disturbed or fret tonight. The kingdom of God is not a great America, and we know that the Bible says that things are going to get worse as the time draws near. Now, that being said, tonight, let me close with this thought. The believer is still light and the church is still essential. This idea, well, what are we going to, you know, if you've been on any kind of social media, a lot of people talking and uproar and upset, you know, what are we going to do? And things are going to get bad. And things, by the way, I'm not saying that things might not get bad. Definitely if Biden and Harris have their way, the landscape of America will probably change. But tonight, what we as Christians should do has not changed and will not change. Amen. The believer is still light and the church is still essential regardless of who is in office. Look at me at Matthew 5, please. Matthew 5. Let me show you a verse here. I think it would be a good thing if Christians became a Christian first and American second. We listen, when you got born again, you change citizenship. You change countries. I think we ought to be a good American, but you ought to be a Christian first. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 14, the Bible says this. Here Christ is speaking. He says, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, but put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Now this passage of Scripture that Christ is preaching from, or Christ is now preaching, He is not preaching to a free republic. He is not preaching to a democracy. He is preaching, again, this message is preached under the Roman Empire, under the dictatorship and the authority and the ruling of the Roman Empire that the Jews despised and hated. It was a hard rulership and a cruel rulership. And they weren't a free nation, but he said, under this time, he said, listen, you as believers, you are still the light of the world. Even though that you may not have the right, most enjoyable government, you may not even have your own nation, and under the Roman Empire, their rulership, he said, listen, you are still the light of the world. You see, the believer is the light of the world regardless who occupies the White House and sits in the Oval Office. It does not change. You see, Democrat or Republican, there is no change to the believer's devotion, dedication, or our duty. So tonight, I'm praying tonight that something changes and President Trump stays in office. Listen, if I had my way, this as many of you did tonight, that'd be our way. That'd be our desire. I don't want a baby killer in the Oval Office. I don't want someone that hates our country and wants to promote the far left agenda and take away our rights and target churches and kill babies in the Oval Office. I don't want a sodomite lover in the Oval Office. But tonight, regardless of who gets in the Oval Office or who's in control of the Senate or the House, the Christian is still supposed to be the light of the world. We still have a job to do as believers. We still serve a King of Kings and Lord of Lords that raises up raises up authority and puts authority down. Now, listen to this. Socialism does not hide the believer's light. The promotion of sodomy does not hide the believer's light. The defunding of the police does not hide the believer's light. The control of guns or speech does not hide the believer's light. The believer's lust for sin hides the believer's light. Amen. The believer's acceptance of worldliness hides the believer's light. The believer's hunger for money and prosperity hides the believer's light. The believer's practice of divorce and remarrying hides the believer's light. The believer's unforgiveness and bitterness hides the believer's light. The believer's pride and stubbornness hides the believer's light. The believer's offenses and grudges hides the believer's light. The believer's involvement in fornication hides the believer's light. The believer's apathy and laziness hides the believer's light. The believer's neglect of the Bible and prayer and worship in the house of God hides the believer's light. Regardless of who's in the White House or the Oval Office, that does not hide our light, does not quench our light. But I believe it's the believer's pride and love for sin that's hidden the light of the gospel of Christ. America tonight is guilty of many sins, but by far the worst is its pride and its arrogancy. And tonight, regardless of who's in the Oval Office, the church must continue to walk with God and preach the gospel. It's not changed. In fact, our light is needed more now than ever. Social reform without being born again is just simply a work of humanism. So now we have the gospel. We have the light. See, the direction of America is a sad commentary on the homes and the churches of America. We want to blame the politics, the government of our officials, but God says that the judgment begins in the house of God. You know why America today is in a mess? Because the average Christian and average church today is a mess. No power with God, no prayer, no love for each other, and pride in America runs rampant because pride in the church runs rampant. And so that I want to encourage you. I'm not excited about Biden and Harris being our next president or vice president. But I'm not going to quit serving God because of it. I'm not going to lose hope. I'm not going to live my life in despair or fear. And that's the problem. Listen, the devil wants to get the believer to live their life in frustration and despair and discouragement and fear. If you look through the Word of God and through history, believers who made a great change for the cause of Christ lived under far worse conditions than we have so far in America. Do you want to talk about persecution and living by faith? Let's go back to the days of the apostles. When they preached the word of God, they were beaten and thrown in prison, and they rejoiced because of it. So tonight, listen, I just want to encourage our church tonight. By the way, you know, help many folks be encouraged to stay off Facebook and Twitter. Turn off Fox News. Quit watching CBS and CNN. Because perhaps our country tonight is not going the way that we want it to go. But God is still sovereign. And God is still in control. And if Biden and Harris get in, it'll be because God in his wisdom allowed it. God is still sovereign. I believe that. And perhaps tonight, this closer of a race is really a reflection, not on a man and a woman, but it's really a reflection on the condition of our country. What are we asking ourselves? We're then asking who committed fraud and who cheated. It's what's wrong with the heart and the minds of America that would hate a man so much that they would put a baby killer in office. Just that one topic alone is enough for me. That America proclaims to be Christians, and Biden proclaims to be a Christian, but they have no problem butchering millions of babies. And the mindset of America is to say, well, we're okay with that. Tonight I'm more concerned about not the fraud involved, but the condition in the heart, spiritual condition of our country. It tells me that the gospel is needed more now than more than ever in our country. Listen to these two verses, then we'll go home. 2 Corinthians 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. 1 Peter 4:17 says, for the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. If it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Whenever there was revival that took place in a nation, it didn't begin with the heathen, it began with the believer. And Christ and God told the children of Israel, if my people, not the rock and roll crowd, not the sodomite crowd, not the baby killers, but if my people, which are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Then God will hear from and turn from the wicked ways. Then God will hear from heaven and heal our land. Tonight, my concern tonight is not just for our country, but for our churches, for our believers. You see, it wasn't just the heathen tonight that voted this week. It was professing believers that voted. It was so-called believers and Christians that voted. And that's what concerns me. And God said, listen, if I'm going to change a country or a nation, if I'm going to judge the lost, it first must begin with the house of God. And I really believe tonight that this election is not just a reflection of our country, but of our churches. Of our churches. The pews and the pulpits are anemic when it comes to prayer and worship and walking with God and the power of God upon our lives. And I want to encourage you tonight that we need God. And I want to encourage you tonight that regardless of who's in the office, you got to still walk with God. You got to still read your Bible. You got to still pray. You got to still attend church. And quit being mad about things at church. Drama shouldn't unite us. This idea that we unite around drama is ridiculous. We got to unite around victory. Unite around the Word of God. Unite upon the love of Christ. That's what we ought to unite us, not drama and fighting everybody and fighting against each other. It ought to be the things of God that should unite us. You ought to be soul winners. That's what's going to make America or any nation great, is the gospel. So our heart tonight should be, what can I do to help the cause of Christ? What can I do to help change our country? Well, get some tracts in your pocket. Pass out some tracts. Knock on some doors. Invite folks to church. And tell others about Jesus Christ. Be a soul winner. Be a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so, again tonight, I just want to come to tonight just very simply and say this. We may not like what's going on, and if you watch the news, you're going to go to bed frustrated and angry and maybe upset and anxious and nervous and, what are we going to do about, next year if something happens? And what are we going to do if they come for our guns? What are we going to do if they come for our churches? What are we going to do? I'm just going to trust in God. And keep on doing what we're supposed to do. I'm going to go, I say it oftentimes, we'll just do the next right thing. So I'm going to go home and try to be a good husband. I love my wife. I'm going to try to be a good dad to my children. I'm going to try to pay my bills and do right and be honest and have integrity. I'm going to come to church on Sunday. And I'm going to be in church. I'm going to sing the hymns and read the Bible and preach. I'm going to tell folks about Jesus Christ. I'm going to keep on doing what God has called us to do. And just trust in God, not in a man. And so that's what our world today needs. And if we're not willing to change as believers and live right, how can we expect a country to change? If we're going to be, people get on the arrogancy of, well, Trump is arrogant and proud. Maybe he is, but I come to church, you come to church and check out some people that are arrogant and proud. So I'm not an eloquent speaker as some, but my thought tonight would just come in as to remind you that in this day and hour, the Lord is still sovereign. He's still sovereign. He's still a good God. And if America crumbles and falls, well, there's still a place called heaven. There's still a place that man's not touched or corrupted. There's still a place where God's in control. And that God is the authority over all power. And I'm not going to fret about it. I'm going to just keep on trusting God and preaching the gospel, trying to reach people and families for the cause of Christ. And I encourage you tonight to do the same. Trust in God. He's not changed. He's not surprised. He's not shocked. He's not troubled. He's not worried. Everything's all right in my Father's house. And it will be. He's coming again. And he warned us of this. He warned us that perilous times would come, that men would be lovers of themselves and corrupt, and they'd be deceivers and the evil men that would wax worse and worse. But he said this, but continue the things that you've learned and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that's my message tonight to you. Continue in the Word of God. Father, we come tonight. Thank you, Father, for your word this evening, that you are, Father, the authority of all power. Lord, that you're not surprised, you're not shaken, you're not worried, Father, about this election. And Lord, it really is to me a startling reminder Father, the condition of man's soul, the condition of our heart without Christ, reminds me tonight the great need of our country is Jesus Christ, the Word of God, the gospel preached. Now, God, help us tonight, I pray, as believers, to understand the responsibility that we have to be the light of the world, not to hide our light, but, Lord, to put on a candlestick that it might be seen, that men may see our good works, our labor of love, Father, our faith, and glorify you, Lord. I pray that you bless tonight. I help our church. We ask in your name this evening. Amen.